Hear the words of the 12th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Fifteen hundred years before the time of Christ, the night of Passover must have been quite a solemn night for those Jewish families. We can picture them sitting in their homes, hearing the instructions of what they were to do. We think about families going and picking out that one particular lamb. A very special lamb had to be selected without any blemish, a male. And then all of the special instructions and details that surrounded that night. All of this, of course, being a beautiful picture of the coming work of Christ, the Messiah. So here we are, 1,500 years later in time, and our Lord is now only days away from his crucifixion, possibly hours away, going into Jerusalem. And he's in the town of Bethany, a place where he would often go near Jerusalem to relax with his family, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And he now is preparing and being prepared for his upcoming crucifixion. And Mary, the one who had sat so humbly at his feet listening to his word, Mary now knows the great significance of what's coming for Jesus. This Lamb of God is now right in her home being prepared to be victimized and sacrificed for the sins of the world. And her heart is very focused on what's going to take place on the cross. And yet right in the same setting, we have Judas, one of Jesus' own disciples, providing us with such sad irony to all of this, that here one of Jesus' members of his inner circle provides us with a picture of the rebellious nature of our own sinful flesh. Think about it. Here's Judas, probably only feet away and in conversation with from Lazarus, who Christ himself had raised back to life from the dead. What greater picture do you need? What greater monument do you need to the power of Christ as the Son of God? And the greatest thing that he can do is bring us back to life from the dead. And yet here sits Judas, more concerned about the amount of money that's being spent on this particular ointment that's used to anoint Jesus. And he's upset with that. And he's thinking about his own potential financial gain. How big of a handful of money was in this tiny little money bag that he had hanging off of his belt? And here he is with treasonous thoughts, all based on greed, to deny the very Savior that could provide him the answer over death. This is how a callous and rebellious heart looks at Jesus. And anything that's kind of sacrificed for Jesus or for the things of his kingdom, we look at it, our hearts, when they're sinful like this, look at this stuff as unnecessary for Christ. Ridiculous waste of time and money. Think of Judas today, suffering in hell itself. If you could go down and interview him, how absolutely meaningless that tiny little pocket bag of money would now seem compared to the eternity of suffering that he has to suffer. This is very frustrating for us as Christians, for ourselves, when we actually analyze ourselves in all honesty. Sometimes the most trivial things in our world and in our lives can distract us from Christ, can distract us from showing devotion to Christ as well. The least important matters can get in the way of my heart and mind from staying focused on my Savior and his great importance to me. And how fickle I can be just in the same day, in the same hour sometimes, between loving him and just acting like this stuff is meaningless. So here in this context, we have Mary and Judas sitting, if you will, in spiritual juxtaposition from each other. But that's exactly how it is with the world and the church of believers. The one views the cross as senseless and meaningless and a waste of time and an unnecessary event, but the eyes of faith in the church see this as the most beautiful, significant event in world history. St. Paul summarizes it so well in the words we heard a few weeks ago to the Corinthians. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Faith, given by God's grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit, faith sees the relevance of Christ's great sacrifice and must show appreciation for that. So here's Mary, breaking all the customs of the day. A woman rarely let her hair down and out in public, but then to stoop down at the feet, the dirty feet of somebody, and to use your hair with this ointment to wash someone's feet, it went against all customs and norm of the day. Johannes Ilvesacker says this, though, cold custom does not count when love would have its way. Where Christ is to be found, faith looks at this and says, this is the gate of heaven. And even what might seem as the most undignified and lowly ways of showing appreciation are considered very highly by God when they come from a heart of faith. Right now, our brothers and sisters in the churches of Ukraine are waiting to find out exactly what's going to happen to their country and to their government. There's a lot of great turmoil over there. I was in that country and in a number of those churches a few years ago, and I remember being in this one sanctuary, a tiny little church, and people from the West would laugh when they would go in there as to how the church was decorated, because they would take VBS and Sunday school coloring pictures and tape them to the wall all around the altar, the kids' drawings. And any decorator from over here would just be appalled to think that this is the wallpaper you're going to put up in your church. But I remember sitting in church one of those times next to this little 10-year-old girl who was in our VBS. And she had pointed out to me the pictures in that room that she had colored, and how she so, with such devotion, would make the sign of the cross when the gospel was announced in the service and things like that. And I thought of how her drawings for Jesus' sake were seen by God as the most beautiful stained glass window. Sometimes in church, I can hear the voices of mentally handicapped people singing out their praises to God, sometimes with a lot of volume. And how in the ears of God that is such a beautiful and wonderful sound, as if it is a finely tuned choir. Notice Jesus' appreciation of Mary's act that maybe to Judas and other people in that room seemed really, really something that was out of the ordinary. But Jesus appreciates this act, and notice his impulse to protect her. Let her alone. The shepherd protects his sheep. The shepherd loves to see the devotion of his sheep and desires to protect them. The world may make fun of you and jeer at you for your devotion to Christ, but your gracious Savior will always appreciate it and will always stand to protect you. He is the one who says, "He who confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father in heaven." Amen.